Praise the name of the Lord. I trust you are praising him. Way to go. Way to go. Well, we've got some old members of the church here at the moment. Brother Hamer here, Ian Hamer, used to come here frequently. Some of you wouldn't know him. And the other one some do know and some don't, is Alan. He won't tell your surname because he doesn't like to let it be known, but he calls himself a Searle and has done most of his life. He came into our home when he was 9 months old, a little crawling baby. He's now 39 years old. And we met him. He came and visited us yesterday, found out from his sister, Cherie, and some of you know her, so the two youngest of the five of that family. And even when they went to school, the school accepted the fact that they weren't going to use their given name, surname, because of complications. And he calls himself a Searle, and we're happy to have him. Amen. Welcome, Alan. Welcome. Pity your sister didn't come with you. She'll come some stage, we believe that, and some of the people here know of her. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, let us just pray at this time and ask the Lord to be here. Lord Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords, Almighty God, the one and only Savior, Creator of heavens and earth, the one that took our names and put it into the Lamb's Book of Life, and he will see us through. Lord, there's a lot of people that join us on the internet around the world listening in, wherever they are. Lord, bless them too. As if they were here in the auditorium, well, they are here. But Lord, what we're mostly happy about is you yourself is here. In the form of the Holy Spirit, you're here, Lord, to help us, to encourage us, to stand with us, to know and understand the situations that we have. But you still love us, and you gave your life, actually went and died voluntarily, because somebody had to die that was an innocent one, Lord, and you were the only one. And you willingly died and rose again because you loved us. And all of the people that are listening in and here in the auditorium, bless them. Bless those, Lord, that aren't here yet or aren't able to be here today. Undertake for them, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen and amen. Well, you're allowed to say hallelujah. Praise God. Let the Lord bless you. Just let it flow. Okay. Let us stand and sing number, To God Be the Glory, number 47.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done, so loved. And
Things that he has done. I would remind you about what he's done for you. Where have you come from? And if he let you know that you needed a savior, and then when he let you know that you were actually a sinner and needed a savior, and he was both, he comes, knocks at your door, and there's something down here tells you that he is the Savior, the Lord God Almighty. Let him come in, and life will just be glorious. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's sing number 150, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. That's what we come here for, to hear about Jesus Christ. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story, my precious, sweeter than ever was heard. Tell me the angel of glory, sang as they broke and they burned. Glory to God. Peace and good tidings to earth.
tell of the grave where they laid him, tell how he liveth again. Loving the story so tender, clearer than ever I see, slain in the grave while he whispered, I'll pay the ransom for me. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story, my precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
Chorus again.
Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart.
You know, it gets sweeter every day. The Lord, I never get tired of hearing about the Lord Jesus. Do you know why that is? Because he's a part of you. He lives within you. The Holy Spirit is right there to encourage you on every which way you turn. Hey, Alan. Is that true, Alan? It's good to have you, Alan. True. Really is. For those that have just come in, Alan is one of my youngest children by adoption and his four other siblings. Good to see them after so many years. Sister Pauline, I've put you down for a song, not right now, but after what we're going to sing. And then I was going to ask Brother Ian if he would later just bring me prayer requests, just whatever's on your heart. You may want to bring a greeting or whatever. Having been a member of this church for many years previously, but you're still with the Lord. Praise God. Okay, well, let's sing right now. Without him, I could do nothing. You know that's the truth? That's what the Bible says.
Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I surely fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh, I would be.
may be seated. You know, we need to be praying to the right one. And Alan was telling me yesterday that he actually talks to the angels. But I said, well, look, the angels are servants to the Lord Jesus Christ. What we should really do is talk to the Lord Jesus. I've actually know of a lady, I forget her name right now, not very far from where I live, that says, and she's a well-known lady, and she says she prays to the angels. And I said, well, pray to the one that the angels work for. Why? The angels are lovely beings, and God bless them, and he does. And they are a nice being. But Jesus Christ is the one we need to pray to. Remember that, Alan. Remember that. Thank you, Pauline. Charlie's going to bring us an item. Thank you, Brother Charlie. You know, it's just very good to have these people that can sing and praise. You know, we've all got a calling, and sometimes it's singing. Some of us are preachers, some of us are just folks, but the Lord can use us all. All we've got to do is direct our thoughts to him and let him do what he will in your heart. Lord bless you, Sister Maria. Praise God. Good to see you.
Well, it's all been said and done. There is just one thing that matter. Did I do my best for? Oh, I'm not here. I'm going to start again. Thanks. Sorry. I got the wrong one. When it's all been said and done, there's just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for life? Oh, jeez. Oh, sorry. I got to put these on to see. I got, yeah. I'll start, I'm going to start again. Okay. Here we go. When it's all been said and done, there's just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? When it's all been said and done, you're my life when life is gone. Lord, I live my life for you. Lord, I live my life for you. When it's all been said and done, all my treasures will mean nothing. Only what I've done for love, reward, will stand the test of time. When it's all been said and done, you're my life when life is gone. Lord, I live my life for you. Lord, I live my life for you. Lord, your mercies is so great that you look beyond our weakness and you find purest gold in miry clay, making sinners into saints. When it's all been said and done, you're my life when life is gone. Lord, I live my life for you. Lord, I live my life for you. I will always sing your praises here on earth and ever after, for you're showing me heaven is my true home. When it's all been said and done, you're my life when life is gone. Lord, I live my life for you. Lord, I live my life for you. Lord, I live my life for you. Lord, I live my life for you.
Praise God.
Thanks, Brother Charlie. As always, it's lovely to hear you sing. The blessing of God is upon it. Really nice. We've got a communion service this afternoon, 1 p.m. service. All welcome. And we also have a Tuesday prayer meetings as usual, 7 p.m. You're very welcome to that too. While you remain seated, let's sing Something Beautiful, number 685. Praise God. And then I'll get Brother Ian to come and pray for us and what he wants to bring.
Something beautiful, something good,
understood all I had to offer him, brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful out of my life.
If we let him, we've got to let him. Got to invite the Lord in that he can do the work that he wants to do. One here from our sister Maria here. Greetings, brothers and sisters. Moruru is now home. Thank you all for your prayers. Ruri and Wainui whānau. That's good. That's answered prayer. You know, I've often said, don't be bothered praying to the Lord unless you're expecting an answer. Expect the Lord to do the work that you've asked him. Don't pray and then just say, oh, well, may happen. Nuh-uh. Be positive. Okay, now we don't have any prayer list here at this time, which is a good thing. But there's a lot of people on there, probably hundreds, in the microphone. That around the world that need our prayers. I think of Brother Moses and his people over there in India. There's thousands of people in Africa that need the touch of the Lord, as do we here in New Zealand. Okay, well, I'll just hand it over to my brother here. Lord bless.
Good morning. I used to sit down the back there. This was just packed. And but I heard this, we've all probably heard this, it's quality, not quantity. I'm not saying that wasn't quality then, but, you know, the Lord's, he's an active Lord. And you know, when we're born again, he comes and lives in us. It's him in us. It's not me. No longer I that live, but Christ that now lives in me. And I just have to yield for him to work in me. They say, the Bible said, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony, their testimony. And I just share a quick testimony. 2 years, I got saved. You might have heard of Ray Comfort. In 1981, it was in Brighton in Christchurch, and Ray Comfort, the Holy Spirit, was moving on the young people. It was one Wednesday night. I didn't know much about the Lord except that he died for my sins on the cross, and to be quite frank, seven seals would have been animals on the beach to me at that time. But that Wednesday night, we were worshipping and the Holy Spirit came down and I was just in tears. I didn't really understand what was happening, but the Holy Spirit was coming into my life. And then I've noticed I didn't bite my nails anymore. I had to cut my nails. I wasn't swearing. It wasn't me doing it. It was him. He'd come in. And cigarettes was a different one, but he was teaching me a lesson because it took 7 months. But with the cigarettes, I had the desire to stop because he was in me. And I did everything Ian Hamer could do. I cut down to low tar. Used to smoke Pall Mall filter then. And smoked twice as much. The white pack, they brought out the low tar white pack, brother's smiling, he knows. And then I'd say, Lord, this is the last packet. And then I'd find myself at the shop buying another packet. And the Lord was showing me, without him I can do nothing. And then one Sunday, I had a full packet of fags, cigarettes. And I came out of church, I jumped in, this was 7 months later, I jumped in my wee Mori 1100, went down the beach at Brighton and pulled out a fag to smoke it, and I couldn't smoke it. And you know, I just regret, I gave that packet of fags to a person, a friend. But even then, I didn't realize what the Lord was showing me, that it was him, it's got to be him. And then I considered it was a door open for me to train again as a psych nurse on the West Coast. And because I'd been busted on cocaine doing training at Sunnyside. And this was 4 years, 5 years down the road. And, you know, I was a young Christian, and I'm looking back, but you couldn't tell me Jesus Christ wasn't here. I knew he was here. I didn't know he was in me, really. I was still talking to him, but he was actually in me, yes. Manifesting himself, getting rid of Ian Hamer and putting himself in me. Now, what happened, I've just got to be honest, and one night, 2 years after I'd been a Christian, I was a wee bit handsome. And the girls, I can see Satan behind it too. And a girl came to my room, and the Holy Spirit went out, as I knew him. And so I knew enough of the Lord that he was real, and I was thought of as a Christian. But for 38... for 38 years, I played being a Christian. And God used me. I went to prison. We had 16 baptisms. God still used me. He was still with me, but I didn't know him like I knew him. And then about 6 months ago, I was in bed and I was having a dream, and there was this black oil on the ground, and it was me. I've since had people interpret for oil is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit was still with me, but Satan, the darkness, was in there. Because once you're saved, I believe that. And the voice said to me, get up. I couldn't get up. And I was trying with all my own strength to get up. And then the voice said, get up. And I jumped out of bed, and I've been set free. And the Lord's back with me now. And it's just, but I've had all that teaching now, and Brother Branham's teaching, and I really have been blessed by a book, The Intercessor, which Brother Branham had in his library, by Norman Grubb. You know, Reese Howes saw that he was justified, but he didn't know, couldn't see he was glorified. And he went to that step where he got that experience, and I believe we're all a work in progress. Yes. God knows. From glory to glory, he's changing me. His life and his image to perfect in me, the Son of God shown to the world. So we're Jesus Christ. We're the light of the world today, whether you believe it or not. And I experienced that this morning with our brother's sister's son. You know, divine appointment. I just felt to go to the... I had a call on my phone that they said they never made, and I went to the office and I met Nathaniel, and Nathaniel said, who are you? Anyway, he asked me to come and meet the family, and I remember we prayed for him about 10 years ago, down the road there at your homestead. So for me, be encouraged, because God doesn't waste his time, and for that to happen, just waiting for it to unfold like our brother here. Everyone's here for a reason, our brother. Good to see you, brother. But I'm just so... things are different now. Something happened that day. Burdens now are lighter. Brighter is my day. It is such a joy to walk with him. It's not easy. I've still battles. I've done a lot of things in those 38 years I regret. But God was teaching me. And here I am today. And the Bible has become a new book again. That book that, you know, this morning, it's just the Lord wakes me up and 4 a.m. I'm not saying this is for you, but I'm just saying what for me. And the scriptures are just so, they speak to me now, or to him in me. And I can see, because I can see, you know, I just say, well, now I see it, Lord. I just want more, less of Ian Hamer, more of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ, he's a miracle-working God. And where he goes, things happen. And I'll just share this. And I know you all know this scripture, but we are to encourage each other. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's pretty conclusive. But we must, Jesus said, you must be born again. And then we go on to Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a promise. And then we have that promise which Jesus, when Satan comes and says, you're not good enough, look what you did there, what you're doing. What did Jesus do? It is written. It is written. I've repented. God's accepted my repentance. I've taken his name. I'm now part of him. He's in me. I went in. I died. And he's, I know this is probably simple, but I found the gospel is very simple. But like we're saying, you know, Brother Lee, when he put on that song, all my confusion, he understood. And he does understand. And there's battles going on right now. Satan doesn't want souls coming into the kingdom. And it can be closer than you think. And so, as I said, they said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. And that's what I'm sharing. So I hope it's helped someone out there or here. Because we're here to encourage one another, not to look at the negative. If someone starts to talk to you negative about a brother, you ask them, have you gone and spoke to the brother about that? Have you prayed for him? Because if we've got that anti-negative spirit, we need to look at ourselves. We really do. It's hard enough without, I don't know why I'm going there, but it's hard enough without us. And hey, if you want to look at, you could have 2 books here. If you want to see my negative and my positive, you'd probably fill this one up a lot quicker than this one. But by the grace of God, he now is living in me, living through me, and each day is exciting. I'm actually still a bit scared, because of, not scared, but just wondering what's going to happen today, because, you know, Satan's real too. And but I just hope that's an encouragement, and just a general prayer. Heavenly Father, you've heard what I just shared, and Lord, I believe you live in me now, and you always have. Satan just kept his eyes, my eyes closed to it. But you have defeated Satan. And you've opened our eyes to see that it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live by the faith of the Son of God, who died for me and rose for me and is alive forevermore and lives in me today to do his work in 2021, the 11th of July. We are the light of the world. And Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters here and out there that you will, Lord, minister to them and give them that assurance of the scripture I just read. Nothing can separate us from your love. We're not talking of human love. We're human spirits. We're spirits. We've either got you at the steering wheel or Satan, our fallen nature, with Satan aiding it. That's why we must be born again. Don't settle for anything less. Don't try and be religious. Don't try and be good. You can't get blood out of a stone. You can't. You must be born again. And then watch what happens. So, Father, I thank you. I'm just so humbled that you've done what you've done in my life. And I'm looking forward to seeing the future. And for you, Lord, changing all of us from glory to glory, so that this world will see the light of the world. And Lord, that sinners will repent. Lord, it's getting so bad down here. But you know, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, that you're on the throne. You've defeated Satan. You've got a place for us to come to where we'll see Pastor Searle, we'll see my mum, each one of us, that brother that just passed away, or I've forgotten his name. But they're the great cloud of witnesses. Seeing as we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience. Patience is an unusual word. Determination. The race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand throne of God, our God. So, Father, you know the needs out there. All things work together for good, for your children, for those who are called according to your purpose. So everything's happening for your good. We just need to believe, like Brother Lee said, in a different way, I suppose, but we need to believe you live in us and accept it and expect wonderful things to happen. So Lord, the prayers that are on the altar now, you know them. You knew them before they were even written. But you honor faith. You want to see our faith as we come to you expecting, like Brother Lee said, expect to see them happen. And whatever the answer, yes or no, our dad is a good Abba Father. He's a loving God and he wants the best for us. So if it's yes or no, life or death, he's in it. And it's for our best, because that's the God we serve in Jesus Christ. I could go on, but thank you, Lord, that you live in each one of us by amazing grace. You live in each one of us, and you're changing us from glory to glory to be in your image. And we're here now to do your work on earth. We're the light of the world, not by anything we've done. Maybe that's why I had to go 38 years and learn I couldn't do it. There's nothing good in me. That's why I must be born again. I must be born again. You've given us the prescription, Lord. Let us all take that medicine. Run and take it, because you could, well, we said it so often, you're coming back so soon. Thank you, Father, that you're here right now, because you live in us, and we're two or more gather in your name. Or ask anything on earth, agreeing you'll do it in heaven. So we just want to worship you and say thank you, I praise you, and love you with all my heart.
That was for you. My youngest son lived with us for 17 years from 9 months old. Then he took off and been through absolute turmoil. What Brother Ian's been through, he's had very similar circumstances, but he's still our Lord that watches over us. I didn't know Brother Ian was going to say those things. I spoke to you yesterday, and that's virtually just repeating what you've had. Praise the name of the Lord. So we'll all remember. Remember Brother Alan. Say Alan Searle, he'll know who you mean. Because he's not a natural son, but he is a son of the Lord, I believe. And also for the rest of his family, we keep in touch with Cherie. Some of you know him. Good to see you, Andrew. Why? Well, Lord bless you, brother. Okay, well, look, even though time's gone on, let's just sing one, because it's so good what Brother Ian was saying about that. It's never alone. Let's sing that one, and knowing that he's going to walk with you no matter where your track's been, he's still with you, the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll see you through. Okay, let's sing. I've seen the lightning flashing.
I've seen the lightning flashing and heard the thunder roll. I felt such greatness dashing, trying to conquer my soul. I've heard the
Hallelujah. Worship you, Lord. Love you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. You know that promise is for you. When God makes a promise, it's a promise. And if you're never alone, it means He's walking with you and is within you. Believe the word. It's for you. You may be seated. Thank you, Brother Howard.
Praise the Lord. We welcome you to the service of the Lord, to His house. It's really good to be here. It's not until you go through trials and testings, like Brother Ian was explaining a while ago, that you really appreciate the grace and mercy of God in your life. You know what? We all need it. We're all going to have to face an end. And you've got to be ready. It's not just coming to church. Nothing to do with it. You've got to find Christ. He's the Savior of our soul. Who believes He's the Savior of our soul? Amen. So may God speak to us today. We appreciate the ones being here, visitors, even Sister Lynn there, all the way from Adelaide. You know, I just often wonder, how long is it to go? I do. Okay, later than we think. The Lord might come next week. The question is, are you ready to meet Him? Have you given your heart to Christ? Have you asked Him to forgive you for your sins? And had a real experience with the Lord? So may God bless us this morning as we come around His precious word. Just wonderful how God moves and how He works. I pray that You'll continue to bless us today. Thank You, Lord. I wonder if we could stand for the reading of God's word from the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, we welcome you all here and those joining with us worldwide. This being a live broadcast, even in New Zealand, God bless you. It's good to have you with us. God knows where you are and who you are. And it says in verse 1, "And you hath He quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation." The word conversation means living. I got a Greek wife. She always helps me on these things. The word conversation can mean your living. Among whom we also had our living in times past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. That's our verse we're going to sort of zoom in on a bit today. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Amen. And has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. But you know, when you get a gift, brother and sister, you've got to receive it. You can some give you something, but you've got to receive it. Otherwise, you don't get it. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. May God bless the reading of His word. Shall we just pray for a moment? Precious Lord Jesus, we come to Thee, the Savior of our souls, the One that died for us and gave us all for us, that we may live and have eternal life and not go to hell. We thank You for this, Lord. We thank You that all we have to do is accept that gift and mean it in our hearts and we are saved the moment we believe it. So, Lord, I just pray you'll bless each one here. Lord, may you quicken the word to us and make it real to every heart. We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. I want to entitle this subject, Quickening Power. Quickening Power. You all need, all of us, everyone that's listening, wherever you are, you all need the quickening power. If God doesn't quicken you, you're not quickened. It takes God to do that. So I pray that God will bless us to us. And I love that verse we read, verse 5. As I said, we're going to zoom in on it. It says there that even when you were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with him, with Christ. By grace are you saved. So this is a miracle that even when we were dead in sins, we're in the nightclub or we're out doing evil things, even then, not at a prayer meeting, down in sin, God can come down and quicken you. That is a miracle. Who believes that?
Amen.
His word says so, so it has to be true. God can quicken us. Not in a prayer meeting, as I said, we were in sin. We were, even when we were in sin, he came and quickened us. So you weren't being stimulated by something you're listening to, he came and quickened you. You know, there's many, many examples of the great revivals they've had in the world where they, I know the reason I spoke about a nightclub or a dance hall, the Holy Spirit moved down upon them. And I think it was in, I'm not sure where it is because there's been a few revivals over that way, but the Spirit of God came down upon the people, upon the nation. And these young people were in having a great time and a great dancing. And the Spirit of God came down upon them. And they stopped dancing. Nobody said, don't dance. They stopped dancing and fell on their knees. No preacher was in a dance hall. And they fell down and started crying out to God. And then they started moving out of the building. And then they went into the fields. And they got on their knees and they cried out to God for mercy. You know, brother and sister, when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, you'll repent. It won't be in a because of a church or because of a preacher. It'll be because of the Holy Spirit coming to you and making himself real.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And they said, let's get a preacher. We haven't got a preacher. So they say, what? There was a policeman down at the police station, and they knew he was a Christian. They got him to come. But, you know, God had started the work already in their hearts, preaching of the gospel, and they were saved. And many people were led to Christ, and the whole nation turned to God. Who believes that's wonderful?
Amen.
And, you know, brother and sister, God's going to have a people ready when he comes. They're going to be ready when he comes. Hallelujah. So I just think that's so wonderful. So God was out looking for his children. If you're a child of God, God's after you. Let me say this, brother and sister, you're not going to get away. You can say what you like, do what you like. If you're God's child, he's going to get you.
Amen.
You know, when he came down the Garden of Eden, he came down in the Garden of Eden, and there was Adam. He had been a sinner. He had sinned, and he was feeling pretty bad. He hid himself, and he went behind the bushes, and so God couldn't see him. God sees you wherever you are at any moment. And he had sinned and he realized he was naked because he had sinned. And you know what God said? When he went into the garden, I never heard Adam saying, God, where are you? God, where are you? There's none of that and it hasn't changed. It was God saying, Adam, where art thou? Adam, where art thou? Do you think God didn't know where Adam was? He knew he was behind those cabbage leaves and his wife. He knew where they were. And he called, Adam, where art thou? And he said, what are you hiding for? He said, because we were naked. He said, who told you you were naked? You talk about a serpent seed. Oh, my. Sure, they were naked, and they realized it because they had sinned against God. And so we see it was by predestinated grace that God went looking for us. God went looking for me. I was just a wretch like anybody else. We're just worldly sinners unless God comes knocking at your heart's door. And the reason he's knocking, because he wants to come in. He'll never push his way into your life. He expects you to open the door and he'll come into you. So that's an amazing thing to me. In Romans 3 verse 10 we read, did I put that one up, Nancy? I'm sorry. As it is written, there is none righteous. Now listen carefully. This is the word of the Lord. There is none righteous on earth. No, not one. No priest, no prophet, no preacher, no good person. There's no, not one righteous on earth. There is none that understandeth. There is none, none that seeketh after God. He says, oh, I sought the Lord. Oh, yeah. The Bible says no one sought after God. If you're seeking after God, it's because he's calling you. They're all gone out of the way. They all are altogether become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Sometimes we think, oh, I live a pretty good life. Or I go to church and I carry on my Bible and I confess God. You know, brother, sister, the Bible says there's none, no, not one that is right. We just read it. There's none, none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. So we see these things are very real. You talk about the mercy and grace of God. So a quickening, when you're quickened inside, it actually means arouse to make alive. It arouses you to make you alive to understand the goodness of the Lord. To make us wake up. You know, there's people asleep. This generation, the Bible prophesied, will be sleepy. Neither awake nor alive. Lukewarm Christians. Going to church, doing all that stuff. Oh, very nice, but you're asleep. And you haven't heard the voice of God. Help us, Lord. So I believe that we need to be conscious of these things. This spiritual and natural quickening comes from God alone. By the mercy of God, he'll come knocking on your heart's door. And make you alive. Make you sensitive to God. Make you wake out of your sleep. You know, he said the sleeping virgins, the wise and the foolish virgins, they were the foolish virgins were asleep. They went out to meet the Lord and they were still asleep while they're waiting for him. Can you believe this? Speaking of the coming of the Lord in this day. He's coming in this hour. They went out to meet the Lord and sound asleep. That's what it said it would be. I don't want to be asleep when he comes. I want to be awake when the Lord comes. I want to get closer to God because time's running out. The time clock is going. People don't realize, oh, I'll get the Lord when I go to the next convention. Sorry, you may not be here. You know, may not be here this afternoon. You don't have a guarantee of that. None of us do. So we need to find the Lord when we can, when he's calling us to come to him straight away. So the spiritual quickening comes from God. And this quickening is very important. Else there's no life. I just want to give you a little type here. You know, in the Bible, in Luke chapter 1, verse 36, we read about the mother of John the Baptist. Her name was Elizabeth. And she had also conceived in her old age. She was an old lady, but she was conceived because they prayed for her, that God would do something and help her. And this was a 6 month with her. The baby had been conceived in her for 6 months. And it's pretty quiet there, a bit of a worry. She hadn't moved at all. The baby hadn't moved. And she was called barren. And we go to verse 39. We read, "And behold, thy cousin," he's talking to Elizabeth, to Mary, her cousin. "Thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6 month with her, who was called barren." Verse 39, "And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste." She was in a hurry. You know, brother and sister, when God starts speaking to you, you need to be in a hurry. You need to really do something about it. Don't just sit around, "Oh, one day, one day." One day may never come. You've got to get out when God's speaking to you. And the Bible says she arose with haste into the city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias, that's Elizabeth's husband, and she saluted Elizabeth, her cousin. "And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby that had been sitting in there, was there for 6 months, hadn't done much, when she heard Mary giving that prophecy, what happened? The baby leapt in her womb." And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. I tell you, brother and sister, when God starts moving, the Holy Ghost starts moving, because he is the Holy Ghost. And John was quickened to life and filled with the Holy Ghost. It's really wonderful. Let's read this. John the Baptist got the Holy Ghost while he's still in his mother. He says, how can that be? The Bible says so. I'm not interested in my opinion or yours. I just want to say what God says. We go to Luke 1:15, and the Bible says here, "For he shall be great," this is speaking about John the Baptist, "he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? So God can quicken the natural body, and he can quicken the soul. And God can quicken both soul and body. I want to also read an example of how God can quicken. You know, brothers and sisters, we are serving a mighty God this morning. Amen. You may not realize, but God's alive and he's here, and he can do anything for you right now. If you just open your heart and say, "Lord, this is the situation, I really need thee." So you listen to this. In 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 20, "And Elisha died, and they buried him." That's the prophet, Elisha. "He died and they buried him, and the bands of the Moabites invaded that same land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, behold, they spied a band of men watching other soldiers." Oh, quick, let's get out of here. That's what they're saying. "And they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha," who had been buried there in the beginning of the year. "And when the man was let down," the dead man that they were going to bury in the coffin, in the tomb, "when he was let down and he touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet." You know, brother and sister, when God touches us, he's going to change our bodies. He's going to change our souls, and we're serving a living God. Who believes that? Amen. There's nothing in this world for me but to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to love him and to serve him. Hallelujah. We must realize quickening on the inside before there's a quickening on the outside. If you want your body to be quickened, made alive when the time comes, you've got to be quickened on the inside first. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, we read, "But I would not have you to be ignorant," Paul says, "brethren, concerning them which are asleep," not in bed, in the grave, "them concerning them which are dead, that you have no sorrow," even Sister Shill, "that you have no sorrow, even as others which have no hope. It is people in this world, most of the world, don't have hope this morning. But we have hope.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We have hope in the Lord. Who has hope?
Yes.
Who loves the Lord?
Hallelujah.
That's wonderful. And for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, who believes that?
Yes.
Even so, them which sleep, that's when you're dead, if you happen to be dead in Jesus, you're a Christian when you're buried, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, that could be any day now, hallelujah, shall not prevent or hinder them which are asleep. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? It will not hinder them which are asleep. Praise be to God. And so we see, just pick this up here. The Lord is very clear on this point that our bodies will be quickened. We're not taking these bodies into heaven. They've got to be changed. They're corruptible little things. We know that. And they have to be changed. The word of God is very clear on this point. Our bodies will be quick. And let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In other words, when the Lord comes, there's going to be alive believers walking around, and there's going to be dead believers in the grave. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and that's a tenth of a second, that's pretty fast. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So this event is for those believers in the tombs, like in the graves rather. We don't have tombs like that. But people out in the grave, it's for them and it's for us living. It's a joint process for two types of people, all believers. Those that are in the grave and those that are walking around. For this corruptible, must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So then, this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written: death is swallowed up in victory.
Hallelujah.
O death, where is thy sting? Hallelujah. O grave, where is thy victory? Hallelujah. This is so wonderful, isn't it, when we think about it? So the quickening of the spiritually dead. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Wasn't that wonderful? "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." God has quickened us, even though we're little brats. Little sinners, done things that are wrong, he's quickened us. Aren't you glad? Who loves the Lord? Doesn't matter how much of a sinner you are, what you've done, God can change you. Hallelujah. He'll change you and make you a living creature. It won't be by you being a good boy or a good girl. It won't be that. It'll be by his mercy and grace that he comes and reveals himself to you and saves you from sin. In Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, it says this: "And you being dead in your sins," dead in our sins, "and the uncircumcision of our flesh." Uncircumcision of our flesh means unchecked living.
Yes.
Terrible. "Hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses." Every single mistake you've made, he has forgiven you. You know, brothers and sisters, not every sin, you can't go to heaven. He's got to forgive every sin, and he promised he will do it. Let's say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
The amazing grace of God teaches us to save us completely. The amazing grace of God reaches us to save us completely. God doesn't save you to lose you tomorrow. As Brother Ian said, God, you don't get lost. I'm unsaved again. I've got to go to church and get saved. No, no. If God saves you, he saves you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
Not only did he quicken your souls and bodies, but he did it before we even came to earth.
Hallelujah.
Before the womb. God saved you before we even arrived here. Hallelujah. And this is a wonderful thing. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he hath chosen us, that's you, in Christ, in him, before, didn't say at church, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame before him in love. This is powerful. This is the word of God. This is the gospel. He saved you before you turned up on the scene. It's just you didn't know about it at the time, that's all. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just like John was filled with the Holy Ghost before his birth. What about Jeremiah the prophet? Let's turn to Jeremiah the prophet. These things are all through the scriptures. It's really amazing what's there. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me. Jeremiah speaking. The word of the Lord came unto me. God speaking to him, saying, Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly or in the womb, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nations.
Praise God.
So, Brother Tom, God has ordained your position this morning. He knew you'd be here. He has a commission for you. He has a commission for all of his children. We all have something to do, as Brother Lee was saying. God's given you all gifts of different varying sizes and shapes for different purposes. And he will use us for his glory. It's all to do with God. Nothing to do with you. It's the mercy and grace of God that he has predestinated us and chosen us before the foundation of the world to be his children. Why? Because the seed of God was already in us. It's already in you because the seed of God doesn't come and go. It's always there because you actually are an eternal being when you're in Christ Jesus. Wonderful. You're looking at an eternal creature right now, Sister Leah. You might think he's very internal looking, but he is. Nothing to do with me. I'm a ratback like anyone else. I've made mistakes like anyone else. But God chose me in him before the foundation of the world. And I thank him and love him for it. And I want to serve him with all my might for the rest of my life. And while I've got breath in my body, I want to praise him and thank him. Don't you think it's great, Sister Y? It's wonderful. This is the word of God. This is not my opinion or what the church believes. It's what God's word says. Hallelujah. So he said, I ordained thee, Jeremiah, to be a prophet. When? Before you even came out of the mother's womb. Just like when John the Baptist, before he came out of the womb of his mother, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. It's a lot bigger than we think, brothers and sisters. Nothing. Oh, we go to this church. I go to that. Forget it. If God has called you, you're going to be there.
Amen.
And he's going to get your attention. He may have to spank you. Sometimes you have to be spanked because we don't listen to what he's telling us. But he spanks us because he loves us. Whom the Lord loveth, the Bible says, he chasteneth and correcteth all those that he loves, his children. And if a good parent Well, correct their children. Because you love them. You correct them because you love them. And God corrects us because he loves us. And we were in him before the foundation of the world. Though the correcting of God brings the seed of God that is in you to life. Listen, the quickening does not make you a son or daughter of God. When God's Spirit quickens you, makes you alive to him, it doesn't make you a son or daughter of God. It's quickening you because you are one.
Hallelujah.
Because you're a child of God, he's quickening you, sending the power of the Holy Ghost down upon you to make you live and come awake and be alive. It's just like the natural baby. The quickening in the mother's womb does not make it a baby. It was already a baby, but it's just brought to life. You know the quickening. I'm not a doctor. There's probably nurses here, yeah. When there's a quickening on the child, it comes alive. If it doesn't, it's a stillborn baby. And that's not good. So we see that it's the same thing when you get down into nature. The rain and the sunshine make an apple seed. It makes an apple seed, quickens it, and it becomes an apple tree. The quickening didn't make an apple tree. It was already, the seed was there, but it took the quickening. And if you're a child of God, and I'm believing all of us are here, we're children of God, it's going to take the quickening of the power of the Holy Ghost to come down into your life. It will take it, Brother Bill. It has to be. Just going to church and being a preacher and all those things, as good as they are, will never do it. It takes God to do it. Come to find that out. But Alan, it takes God to do it. Not Alan. It takes God to come down. But we must have an open heart to hear his call. You must open your heart and let him come in, as that song said. You know, to come in, you sang it in the beginning. Why don't you open your heart and let him come in? He wants to. He's coming, he's knocking at your heart's door. And the reason he's knocking at your heart's door, he went past a lot of letterboxes until he came to your house. And the reason he came to your house, because God has an invested interest in you.
Amen.
Let's say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I want him to knock as much as he likes, and I'm going to open the door. Open the door and let him come in. You know the famous painting that was painted once of the Lord holding the lantern? And he came through the briars and he came up to this door. And he started knocking on the door. And this famous painting, which is still very famous today, went to the Hall of Critics. The artist said, "Why, this is a wonderful painting. We appreciate the expression you got on Christ's face. We appreciate the way you put the colors together. That's wonderful. But, sir, there's one problem. You left off the door handle." He said, "It wasn't meant to be on there." They said, "What do you mean? There's no door handle to the heart's door on the outside for Jesus to open it." He says, "It's not there because the door handle is on the inside. The person on the inside has to open the heart's door to let him come in." Hallelujah. And that's what I've done. I've let him come into my heart, and he can come in any time he wants to. It's no good just being religious. No good just being a preacher. No good just, you know, doing all these nice things. That's nice, but that's not going to save you. You let him come into your heart and take over your heart. So may God help us to see these things. We do not bear fruit in our lives to make us become a son of God. People say, "If I can just live better, if I can just be a better Christian, then I could be a Christian. If I could just do nice things and help the poor and do all these things, then I'll become a real Christian." Sorry, doesn't work that way. That'll never make you a Christian. You do all these good things, helping people and doing all these things. The reason you do it, because you are a Christian. That's what Christians do, not to make you one. The only thing that makes you a Christian is when Christ comes in and reveals himself to you as is your Savior and Lord, and you say, Lord Jesus, I accept you now as my Lord and Savior. You must do it. The church cannot do it for you. I don't care whose church, this one or anyone else's. You have to say, Lord, come into my heart and make me a Christian. And then when you become a Christian, then you act like a Christian because the life of God is in you. Praise be to God. I love this wonderful scripture to me. It's found in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. Powerful. And because you are sons, because you are sons, before this happens, you're already a son. We're talking about the other day, Brother Andrew, about the seed. Because you're a son, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart. It's the Holy Ghost crying, Abba, Father. The Holy Ghost comes to you and reveals Himself to you because you are sons. Isn't that Abba, Father? Isn't that wonderful? I love Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you. It's nothing to do with you working in you. For it's God which worketh in you. Both to will, wow, and to do of His good pleasure. Not your good pleasure. Isn't that a powerful scripture? Who believes that's really powerful? For it's God which worketh in you, even maybe today. Even now, it's God's working in you both to will, it's His will, and to do according to His good pleasure that He's doing this. Don't you love Him? I love the Lord with all my heart. So the quickening of our spirit, of your spirit, is God calling you. Don't despise the calling of God in your life. Even this morning, if you're going to hear a little call, a very gentle call, because He is gentle, and He's calling you and say, my child, I want you to come. Because I have something for you you don't even realize. It's far greater than going to church. It's far greater than all these things. I'm going to come and live in you. And if you feel God calling you because He died for you and shed His blood for you and cleaned you up, that He may come and live with you. In you. If you feel the calling of God in your life, it's time to answer the call. It's time to answer the call, for He'll come knocking. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord will not always strive with men. He will not strive and ask and ask and ask, and one day He'll stop answering. What an awful thing. And you never answered the call. May God be merciful to us all. So there's a definite time God calls or quickens a person to life. The Bible says God's word is in you. It's like a seed. As a Christian, we must never judge from outward appearances. Don't judge from outward appearances. If you see somebody, oh, they're not a Christian, how do you know? They might be just stewing about something. They might be going through a hard time, but deep down there's a hunger for God. Just remember that. That we're not the judges. Because God has a time to call a person. He has a time for me, and He's called me. Praise God, and He's calling me all the time. He spoke to me today. He's always speaking to me. I always hear Him speaking to me. It's so wonderful. Does God speak to you? And you know, brother and sister, He wants to come to you. He wants to not knock you down. He wants to help you. And He wants to bless you. And He wants to give us eternal life. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, if you went down in Israel, in Jerusalem, and there you saw Saul, the one that became Paul, you saw Saul and he was beating the Christians and locking them up, putting handcuffs on them, and persecuting them. and putting them in prison, the Christians, and some were put to death. So, ha! That's not a child of God. Wrong. You know why? Because God had not called him at that point. He heard Stephen the deacon preach the most wonderful sermon under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You can read in Acts. And it didn't have any effect on him. Next, please. They stoned Stephen. Had no effect on Saul, until God met him one day. He's on his way, not to a prayer meeting. Paul was not on his way to a prayer meeting. He had soldiers with him and spears and swords, and they're going to persecute the Christians. Yes. And on the way, a bright light shone down and knocked him off his high horse, and he landed in the dust.
That's right.
It was his time. Saul, Saul, the voice said, why persecutest thou me? He said, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he was smitten blind. God did that for a purpose, so he wouldn't go running off and forgetting what had happened.
Right.
He went into the and stayed, told where to go, and he went and stayed with the man. And he meditated. I must know this Jesus who I'm persecuting. Not Jesus, but his believers. The man came in, Zacharias. He said, Saul, receive thy sight in the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And his eyes came open. And it was the great apostle that wrote the scriptures. But if you had seen him a few days before, a few months before, oh, no, no, not him, not him. Yes, yes. It's God's chosen vessel. And brothers and sisters, don't be discouraged when you see people acting the way they do. Just remember, when God starts calling them, they'll never turn away. They have to come. My sheep hear my voice. Isn't that wonderful? God's sheep hear his voice. Time has a call. God has a time to call a person. The woman at the well, she was an outcast. You know why she's by herself at the well? Who knows why the woman at the well was by herself getting water? Because nobody had anything to do with it. She was a prostitute. Just a terrible person. She'd been married 5 times and she had one that she had was not her own. But Jesus said, he says, I have needs to go through Samaria. Now, if you look on the map, he went right out of his way to go to Samaria because he had an appointment for a dear soul of God waiting at the well. And God has an appointment for you. He'll go out of his way to get you. And he will get you. And she was transformed. And that immoral lady became a real believer. She went out preaching immediately. And the whole men of the city came out to hear Jesus through her testimony. Before, they wouldn't even have anything to do with it. They wouldn't even be at the well together. When God gets a hold of you, even though you've been a real wicked person, he can turn you around like that and make you a saint of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe this. Who believes it? It's exactly what God's word says. So God had a predestined appointment to quicken this rejected child of God. So God's watching over his seed to quicken it to life. It's quickening time. Brother and sister, it's quickening time now. We're getting real close to his coming. He may come this afternoon. Before we have lunch, he may come. He wants to quicken you. You know you need to get into the presence of Almighty God. You come into his presence, not into the church or into the pastor. Forget all that. I'm not saying you can't do that. What I'm saying is you've got to meet the Lord face to face as these people we just heard about. So we all know this is the very last day. The earth is in harvest time. Harvest time is when everything comes to fruition. All the wheat, all the corn, all the fruit, all coming to fruition. and that comes shows what they really are. And when God comes, he's going to find his children acting like he does, because they are a child of God, because he's come to them. They'll be acting like Christ. So God's children are also maturing. Sin is maturing. We've never seen so much sin in the world like we've seen today.
That's right.
I don't want to get onto that subject because I get really upset about it. But we live in an unclean, filthy world.
Yes.
Just absolutely. I tell you, my mother would have never thought this bad. She thought it was bad then. It's nothing like now.
Yes.
I'm waiting for the coming of the glad millennial day when our Lord will come and catch us all away to be with him. So God's children are maturing. Sin is maturing. Everything's maturing. You know, the sad part about the garden, when you see all your fruit and everything starting to mature, the jolly thistles, they're having a revival too. They're all looking good too. Sometimes better. Yeah, the weeds, they do very well because they are what they are. But if you're a wheat seed, you'll produce pure wheat. Right on time. So our Lord is a faithful orchardist. And he will prune and quicken his own. If you're a child of God, he's going to cut you and quicken you.
Hallelujah.
Cut off those things that are holding you back.
Hallelujah.
Because he loves you.
Thank you.
In John 15 verse 1 we read, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, Jesus said. That means he's the orchardist. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You brothers and sisters know you go pruning those trees and that to get more fruit. You've got to prune it. God's going to prune you. If that thing's going to cause a problem, he's going to cut it off. If this is an issue in your life, he's going to have to cut it off. That's all there is to it. It's going to be cut off. Why? Then you'll bring forth more fruit for the glory of God. Hallelujah. So God has quickened us to life eternal. And he will finish the work. God does not start a work in you. Sister Jan, the top halfway and say, oh, no, I didn't mean that. Oh, no, it's not working right. No, not our God. Let's turn our Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, and you, and you, and you, will perform it, complete it, until the day of Jesus Christ. This is what God does. This is what not the church does. This is what God does. Not what your priest does or your pastor does. It's what God does. Hallelujah. So if you see a person a little dry, maybe they just need a quickening. They're not very happy or they're just going through big battles. Maybe they just need a quickening. You know, a dry, half-dead carrot is still a carrot. They're still a carrot, Brother Peter. They're a carrot. Doesn't matter how they look pretty wilted. Just give them the treatment. Give them a bit of water. Give them a bit of sunshine. It won't turn into an apple. It'll turn into a really good carrot because that's the seed that's in there. And if you're a child of God and he sends down the blessing, he's going to bring more fruit in your life through what he's done for you. This is quickening season. As I close.
Hallelujah.
This is quickening season. If God is calling you, you need to answer the call today. I cannot answer it for you. If I did, I'll do it straight away. Lord, I accept you for this person. I cannot do it.
That's right.
If a man asks a woman, will you marry me? Another lady doesn't come and say, yes, I'll take her place. I'll say yes for her. You'll say, sorry, lady. It'll have nothing to do with it. She's going to say yes herself to be his bride. Who loves the Lord?
Hallelujah.
So we've got to be willing to say yes. Praise be to God. Shall we just stand to our feet, brothers and sisters? quickening power. It's a supernatural work of the Holy Ghost. The quickening is a supernatural work of the Holy Ghost. Who believes in the supernatural God? Do you know the supernatural God is in the building right now? He said, "With two or three gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of you." So, Lord Jesus, we welcome you here this morning. You know we've told the truth. We've read most of your words. I just pray, Lord, that you'll bless everyone. Bless those listening out there, Lord. They're hungry for you. That's why they're listening. They want more of you. They're not satisfied. They want to be able to know your presence when they get down to pray. They want to know your presence, Lord. Oh, God, hear their cry, Lord. May you come to them this day or this night or wherever they are. May you bless them. Lord, we ask this in the name of Jesus. May the quickening power of the Holy Spirit be their portion. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love thou Father, Father away. He's coming to get you. Calling today. Calling today. Jesus is calling. He's tenderly calling today. Let me just say this. He's tenderly calling today. He doesn't go down and say, "Come on, you've got to come. You've got to come. Come on, come with it." He's tenderly calling. Tenderly calling. I want to help you. I want to give you eternal life. I want to bless you. I want to help you be an overcomer. I want to heal your body. He's calling tenderly. Come. Jesus is calling the weary. Are you weary? Calling today. Calling today. Bring him thy burden and thou shalt be blessed. He will not turn thee away. Brother or sister, any person, do you feel the Holy Spirit calling you today? It's not my voice, it's His voice in you calling you. You know you should do something about it. Time's running out, my brother or sister. You feel God is calling you, why don't you take the step? Say, "Lord, I'm coming just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me." You can come, all your sins are forgiven the moment you receive it. The moment you believe that Jesus died for you, your sins can be forgiven. So if you feel the Spirit of God calling you, this may be your last opportunity. I do not know. I do not know everything. But God is calling you. He's come past. He needs to come by your well. He wants to help you. If you want prayer, you just come forward and God will bless you. This is your opportunity. This is very personal. It's nothing to do with me. It's nothing to do with the church. It's between you and God. Jesus is waiting. Oh, come to Him now. Waiting today. Come with thy sins at His feet, lowly bow. Come and no longer delay. Calling today. Hallelujah. Calling. Don't let it pass by. If God is speaking to you, act while you have a sound mind and breath in your body. Do the right thing. Say, Lord, I am coming to you. Not coming to Brother Howard, not coming to the church. I'm coming to thee. Amen. Jesus is pleading. Oh, listen to his voice. Hear him today. Hear him today. They who believe on his name shall rejoice. Quickly arise and there's millions of souls in torment right now. We'd give $1 billion to have the opportunity to come to this altar and say, yes, Lord, I want you to receive me. They said, what's wrong with them up there? Why aren't they receiving Christ? What's wrong with this world when Jesus is tenderly calling to come today? I'm giving you another opportunity as we sing this chorus again. Calling today. Calling today. Jesus is called. He's tenderly calling. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we come to thee. I don't see any souls here, Lord, but that doesn't mean you're not calling them. I pray, Lord, they'll make a wise decision and, Lord, receive you now as their Lord and Savior, and just go all the way with God, knowing that they may be dead tomorrow and it's finished. All the begging won't do anything then. Lord, there's many examples in the Bible. You spoke about the rich man. And he died, and Lazarus the beggar, he died too. Lord, they went up into heaven, you said, up to the bosom of Abraham. And Lord, when they are there, he begged with Abraham that you'd send somebody down to his brothers and family to encourage them to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. But Abraham said, they have the prophets, they have the preachers, they would not hearken. It's too late once you cross over. You can beg and you can cry all you want. It's over then. This is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. May you speak to hearts in Jesus' name. Let's sing this chorus again as Brother Lee comes. Calling today. Calling today.
One day there'll be people screaming to hear that call, and the call may not reach them because they turned the other one down. However, the Lord knows what he's doing. There was I forgot the tune I was going to have the name and got the wrong card here. Hallelujah, he is here. He is.
I forgot the number.
Yeah, this is it. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Hallelujah. You can still come. Again, nice and quietly. It's just you and him. The Holy Spirit is here. And you can come out even now. Don't miss the opportunity. And you folks around the world that may be listening, it doesn't matter where you are, just receive that call, answer it, and God will lead your way. Let's sing it quietly and with reverence. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Oh. Lord Jesus, we know that you're here and we do love you. And we need to acknowledge, Lord, there'll be people also that have never yet made that decision, then others that have made it and have let the Lord just walk on by himself. He wants to walk with you. Receive him again. Put your hand out. Feel the presence of the Lord in your life. He will lift you up. He will show you which path to take. He's walking with you. And you're never, never alone. We love you, Lord. We thank you for what you've told us this day. We know it's the truth. It's in the scripture. It's the word of God. Not some church's organization. It's God himself calling. And we know it, Lord. In our heart, we know it. Help those, Lord, that are struggling to make that decision. Lord, we thank you for the food we're about to have at the lunch. Bless the hands that prepared it. Thank you. Release it to our bodies. Be with us, Lord, for the communion service afternoon, 1 p.m. And just be with the people. We bless them, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever they are and receiving this video. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord bless you as you go.